841. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we're talking about your money. We're talking about investing. We're talking about stocks and creative ways to save. My guest is Ivory Johnson, financial planning expert and founder of Delancey Wealth Management. Also, we're going to be joined later by Muriel Garr, co-host of Beyond the Bling on HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. Lines are open. If you have any questions about your money, give us a call, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Arlene, thanks for hanging on, calling from D.C. What's on your mind?
Yes, hi.
Hi.
And I absolutely love your program.
Thank you so much, Arlene. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. I have about $200,000 in a rollover account, and quite frankly, don't know what to do with it, but I do realize that I need to do something with it. And I've sort of met the Fidelity agents managed my account previously, but now I thought maybe I should get the advice from you all, since, of course, I heard this discussion tonight. So I just need some advice.
I think, again, it goes back to creating a plan, because you want to know, what does that $200,000 need to be for me to reach my other goals? I mean, for example, do you have – just imagine if that 200 grows to 500, and then you have a long-term illness that costs $8,000 a month to pay for, right? So you have to connect all the dots. With respect to managing the money, you know, you really want to start interviewing different financial advisors. When you think about who's going to manage your money, you have to know them. I mean, you have to like them, rather. You have to trust them, and you have to know that they're competent. You'll know if you like them by speaking with them. You can determine if they're competent by what designations they have, their experience. And you know if you can trust them by going to FINRA.org, and there's something called Broker Check.
What is that again?
FINRA.org, FINRA.org. You can see if an advisor has, you know, credit issues. You can see if an advisor has customer complaints, and then interview the advisors to ask them, well, how do you get paid? Is there a conflict of interest? You want to ask them, do they do financial planning? What is their typical client base? Because I think that's really what you need, is someone to put together the blueprints for your financial future. Included in that will be, how do I invest the money?
Here's my question, and this is perfect for Arlene and others like her. You just gave us a list of the things that you should ask your potential financial advisor. But what are the things that your financial advisor should be asking you?
Right. So I always ask, the first question I ask is, what does money mean to you, right? Then I ask clients to prioritize their goals. Is it the age at which you retire, the amount of money you have when you retire, you know, your retirement lifestyle, your current lifestyle? Is it giving money to charity? Is it leaving an estate for your children, right? So what happens is they go, well, I want to retire at 58. Okay, great. So that means you're willing to have less money when you're 58 when you retire. Well, no, that's not what I meant. Oh, so then you're willing to spend less money now. Well, no, I want to keep spending what I'm spending. And so in the final analysis, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody quite wants to die. And so I try to identify what are their biggest priorities, and then I put all that information together, and I put together a plan. I say, well, based on your priorities and the assets that you have, here are the odds that you'll be able to meet all of your goals. I use software. I use a Monte Carlo system. If you imagine rolling the dice 1,000 times, because stocks have different experiences during different times, right? So maybe large caps are doing great.
Large caps?
Anything over $8 billion, right, in market capitalization. So the IBMs, right? And then you have smaller companies, mid-cap companies. So a mid-cap company might be like Expedia right now is a mid-cap company. They do different things at different times. That's what we mean by diversification. Do you have international, right? Do you have bonds? I mean, so there are different investment classes that you might have inside your portfolio, and they react differently even under the same economic conditions. So if you think about the bell curve where, you know, 20% of the time they do something crazy and 80% of the time they're within plus or minus 10%. So when you roll the dice, it takes all those different scenarios into account, taxes, inflation, and it says, well, based on what you're doing, you have a 69% chance mathematically given past what's happened in the past. Obviously, the past is no indication of the future, but it gives you a sense of, am I close to where it is I'm trying to go?
Arlene, before I let you go, you said that the money is in an IRA now?
Yes.
What's it doing? Is it just sitting?
Absolutely nothing. And I was right about to contact someone, and, of course, I found all this stuff out about Trump, and it scared me. And so each time the person would call me to discuss my portfolio, I reschedule because I just don't know what to do. I'm afraid of Trump. You know, I just don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting point. Arlene, I've got to take some other phone calls, but thank you so much.
Wait a minute, real quick, Arlene,
what I would say, though, is it's not just your portfolio you want to discuss. You want to discuss all the things that affect your financial future. If they're just selling investments, that's sort of a red flag. You want someone who can address the holistic, take a holistic approach.
Okay. Well, thank you all.
Arlene, thank you so much for listening. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Nate, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey.
Hey.
I retired at 55. I'm 72 now.
Mm-hmm.
I still have streams of income. I've been invested with Fidelity for over 40 years. I love spending money. At what time do you suggest somebody to spend some of the money that they have? You always talk about saving for your children. My children are pretty well off. They, you know, so I love spending money. My wife is just the opposite. She retired in the aircraft industry, and she likes to save all of her money. I like to spend. So when do you suggest someone to spend some of this money you're talking about?
That is such a great question. We often hear, jokes, and which I don't particularly find, funny. But you often hear parents say, well, now that I'm a little bit older, I want to spend all my money so I don't leave you any. Well, I try to be a good son. But with you hear that, Nate? I try to be a good kid. But
yeah.
But the reality is, if you're in your 70s and you're in good health and, the house is paid off, you got a little bit of money, and say, Nate wants to, take his wife, the love of his life, on a luxury trip, or something. Don't you laugh, Nate, because she's probably listening. So, how do you gauge how to do that?
As my father would say, money's good for two things, saving it and spending it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it sounds colloquial, but it's true. And I think you saved your money for a purpose. And that's why I go back to, what are your priorities? Identify your priority. If your priority is, number one, to make sure that my children inherit X amount of dollars, that's one thing.
Right.
But if you find that your priority now is, I want to enjoy my retirement and not maybe leave as much to the next generation, right? Then enjoy it. Then go spend the money. As long as you're not doing anything that prevents you from maintaining your lifestyle going forward, I say just make sure that you've got the protections down, that what happens if you get sick, things like that.
I own a business also, and I have a multi-stream still of income at my age.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tomorrow's not promised to you. I went to a wake today.
Yeah.
For somebody who didn't even think about leaving us. And I would have liked for him to have another 20 years. But,
yeah.
But we don't know when our day is coming. So as long as you're being responsible and it's consistent with your objectives, then just follow that plan.
Well, Nate, thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Celia, calling from Fort Washington. Celia, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Thank you. Good evening to both of you.
Hey, how are you?
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I was calling because I'm a little bit different than some of the individuals that called in, because I have real estate. I have like eight properties, and I make six figures a year. And so I have a very diverse portfolio. I have a Roth IRA, a couple of them, a traditional one as well as 401k, and I invest in stock and Walmart, Sony, Best Buy, all of that. And I need other avenues to go and invest my money. I want to do more than what I'm doing, but I do have a very diversified portfolio, and I just want to do more. I'm trying to figure out, should I open a business or what other venture I can do at this point in time in my life to, you know, still continue to build my wealth, but also do something more exciting that's pleasing to me and still earn money.
How old are you?
I just turned 50.
You turn 50. Okay.
You know, sometimes we can outsmart ourselves. You know, one of the things I'd ask is your current plan helping you create wealth?
Yes.
Okay. So what you're doing is working.
Yes. Yes, sir.
So you're thinking about changing because is it the excitement of investing in something new?
Well, I'm going to continue my current investment. I invest in a lot of real estate. Plus, as I say, already I work a full-time job. I'm a federal government employee, and I make over six figures a year. But I also invest in stocks and bonds. I love investing in utility companies and, like I said, Walmart, Sony. So I do that, but I wanted to do more, something different, something more. I'm going to maintain what I have, but I would like to do more.
Okay, so there are a lot of different products that you can buy that have different characteristics. We don't have the time, obviously, to go through the suitability. But there are a lot of different products that some provide income without the volatility. Others provide maybe a higher rate of interest. Others may be a little bit more risk. Risk is always in direct proportion to return. You mentioned real estate. There's different types of real estate. There's rental. Some people buy, apartment buildings. So there are a lot of various ways to do it, and so that's why I always recommend that you sit down with somebody, and they'll be able to identify what's appropriate for you given where it is you're trying to go.
Here's a question for you, Celia. You talked about some of the stocks that you're buying. Are they dividend-yielding stocks?
Yes, but I reinvest. Mm-hmm. I do both. I have my 401k, and I try to invest in stocks overseas and of course, government stocks as well, but just a regular, like utility companies, the water company, the gas company, and, of course, like Sony, the company Sony and Walmart, and various stocks, I invest. So mm-hmm. I try to maintain a diverse portfolio. And I think about later on in my life when I do retire, I have long-term care, so I'm covered.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I don't worry about the medical part. That's already situated. Mm-hmm. But I just wanted to, I guess, another venture, something more than what I'm doing now. But I'm going to continue to do the things that I'm doing now, my homes and my apartment building, and most of my properties are paid for. I really don't have that kind of debt. I don't spend money that way. I don't have a lot of credit card debt or anything. So I'm able to save money to be able to make big investments. But I just don't know what else I want to do or can do. I'm at a loss.
Well, I guess don't let boredom make you jump in too far too fast.
Okay.
Right. Don't turn a good situation into a bad situation because you want to make it a great situation. But you sit down with somebody. There are a lot of different things you can do. It's just a function of what's the most appropriate thing for you.
Yeah. Well, Celia, thank you so much for your phone call. And by the way, as always, we'll make sure that the information for contacting Ivory Johnson will be on WHUR.com this evening, as well as the podcast for the program. I'm going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Joanne, calling from Maryland. We're also going to be talking to, I believe it's Bertha, who's also on the line. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment. We're talking about your money. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation about investing in stocks and creative savings. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Joanne calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Joanne. What's on your mind? Joanne, are you there? Give me a call back if you can. Let's go to, is it Beretha or Bertha? Hello, Beretha or Bertha?
Beretha.
Beretha.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Beretha. What's on your mind?
I have a question. I was trying to figure out the best way. For instance, if you have a 401k or a 403b or that type of retirement plan already,
mm-hmm.
and you want to invest in something else to diversify it, like I was thinking mutual funds or even precious metals, what's the best way to do it and how do you get started if it's a good thing to do?
So a 403B and a 401K operate the same. You put money in, and they take it out of your check, and it's not subject to taxes. It grows tax deferred, and there's a maximum that you can put into the account, right? 18 if you're under 18,000 if you're under 50, 24 if you're over 50 with the catch up. The one issue though, to your point, Beretha, is that these plans have a limited number of options, so that many of them don't have the option to buy precious metals. Many of them don't have the option to buy maybe the mutual fund that you want. So in that instance, you don't want to open up an IRA account where then you have access to any security individual or mutual fund or otherwise. And that's the way you would accomplish that. But the tax advantage for a 401k and a 403b are pretty significant just because you're delaying the taxes over an extended period of time.
Okay, so what's the best way then to get started with an IRA then if you want to open up one of those? And now I'm trying to find the process to do it.
Well, that's just a function of opening up an account. You can go to any of the broker dealers, Charles Schwab, TD Ameritrade, Fidelity, or you can find an advisor. The banks have financial advisors. They're also independent financial advisors. So there's the Association of African American Financial Advisors, for example, will have a list of advisors for you. So that would be my advice, and sit down and open up the account. That part is easy. The difficult part is, well, what do I buy?
And here's another question. You know, how do you get paid? You founded your own financial management firm.
Right.
So you're not a bank. It's not like going to SunTrust or Bank of America. So if I sit down with you, how do you make money?
There's three ways an advisor can make money. There's commission. I sell you a mutual fund. I get 5% of the fund, right? There is hourly, or a flat fee. So if I do a financial plan for somebody, I'd probably charge them $1,000 and I do the comprehensive financial plan to the extent that I'm actually managing the money. Well, then I'll charge, roughly 1% of assets under management. So on $100,000, I'll charge $1,000. Every quarter I'll take out 0.25%. But that incorporates everything. So that's the financial planning piece. That's, you call me up, should I lease or should I buy a car? I need help, should I refinance my mortgage? That's the totality of the advice that I'm getting. But that's the three ways that advisors can get paid.
Now, if she were to go with like a TD Ameritrade or, like you said, a Charles Schwab or John Hancock, and she wants to open up an IRA, what does she need to ask to make sure? Because you got to shop around. I mean, and it's just like buying a car, isn't it?
Right. I would ask, do they get paid more for a proprietary product?
What does that mean?
In other words, if you go to John Hancock and they say, well, we've got the best John Hancock mutual fund ever, so they're not looking at the Fidelity funds. They're not looking at a Janus fund. They're not looking at other options, whereas an independent advisor, I'm with an independent broker dealer. I just buy what's in the best interest of my client.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get paid more one way or the other. I'm on the same side of the fence. I don't have the conflict of interest, when I invest for my clients. So that would be the biggest difference. So those are the questions I would ask, is how do you get paid?
Okay.
Well, Beretha, thank you so much for calling. I appreciate your phone call. Stephen calling from Upper Marlboro. Thanks for calling, Stephen. What's on your mind?
How you doing?
Doing just fine.
I had a question. I have been saving money in my 401k since I started working. And, you know, but I was always, you know, I always would waste money. So I finally decided, let me start paying myself. So for the past 5 years, I would just slowly but surely pay myself maybe like, I don't know, like 10% of my check. So I got about, about $15,000 sitting in the savings account, but it's just sitting there. It never grows from the interest. And I was kind of curious, what do you guys think would probably be a good, what should I do with it? I mean, I have a good amount of money in my 401k, but I was thinking about maybe, is it a good idea to put it in a stock, or should I just leave it there and keep putting money in?
Well, you said, one of the things you said that was important is over time, right, over a period of 5 years. And so I think it's important for listeners to know you don't just snap your fingers like Houdini and all of a sudden have a savings account. It takes time, right? And it takes patience. So, you know, do you buy now, right? Because we're at, you know, all-time highs. So one option you have is to do something called dollar cost average. You will. Every month you put in $100 into the market. Every month. So if the market crashes in June, now you're buying lower, but you're putting the same amount in every month. So you don't have that trepidation of, am I buying at the peak? So your average cost will be average and be lower than the average price. Does that make sense?
So you're saying basically go ahead and buy, but just keep putting in.
Yep,
don't stop.
Right, just every month put a certain amount of money into, you know, whatever mutual fund that you're buying. As opposed to putting all of it in at one time.
And I think...
I see. I got you.
What's your trepidation about moving that money, Stephen?
Well, you know, I looked at it and I said, well, you know, I looked at every year and I said, well, I looked at the interest I gained and it was like $40 every year. And I'm like, well, maybe I could make a little bit more by just putting it in a stock.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And don't so that my money can have a better, you know, better bang for every little buck I put in.
And when you have it in cash, remember, it's not that you're only getting $40. You're actually losing money if you consider the effects of inflation.
Right.
Yeah. And before I let you go, and I think this is really a critical piece, Stephen, whether you've got $15,000 or $5,000, for example, you know, Ivory, talk to me about, you know, a lot of people hear bits and pieces of history, and the thing that they think about a lot is the crash of 1929 and what has happened to stocks since then. They think about the Great Depression, they think about the Great Recession, and one of the things they don't understand is, for example, how dividends work. Explain what has happened to the stock market since the Great Crash, the Great Depression, and for those who had the means to, after World War II, began to invest.
Right. So the Great Depression, in response to the Great Depression, we had the SEC Act of 33 and 34, essentially.
Securities Exchange Commission,
and they put some parameters on what companies could do and what they have to disclose. So the insider trading, for example, right? That was one of them. You can't trade a stock based on information that hasn't been disseminated to the public. So going forward, you know, we've had different crashes, and understand that a market crisis happens because of an event. In other words, it wasn't the economy that crashed the market in a way. It was just a function of people could not pay their mortgage, and those mortgages were the collateral for bonds that were 36% of the bond market. And you get and dominoes tend to lean on each other. But the reason that the IPO markets crashed, initial public offering, the reason we had the tech crash in 2000-2001 is because these companies, when they went public, it gave insiders shares. Those insiders couldn't sell those shares until 3 or 4 years down the road. They all started to come due at the same time, and they just flooded the market. That was an economic issue. That was just an event crisis. But dividends tells me, and a dividend, by the way, is when a company gives shareholders back some of their revenue. And so even if you buy a stock at $10, the stock doesn't move at all. If they have a 3% dividend, you've made 3% on that stock. What does that tell you about the company? Well, they have the money to give that dividend out. You know, if dad has money for an allowance, dad's job is pretty secure, right? And so a lot of people, somebody mentioned the utility companies. Utility companies are famous for paying dividends. So dividends is a nice way to identify if a company is healthy. Not just are they paying a dividend, are they growing the dividend? So what are examples of companies that pay dividends? Well, it's utility companies and also energy companies tend to pay a pretty healthy dividend. But you want to look at companies that pay a dividend growth. Let me add one other thing. You're now starting to see companies buy back their own shares. In the last 4 or 5 years, companies have spent more than 100% of their net income buying back their own shares. So what you do is you increase demand, you reduce supply. And what they're doing is they're essentially borrowing money because it's so cheap. And they're buying their own shares back. And so how do you define or calculate earnings per share? It's net income divided by minus dividends divided by shares outstanding. So if you reduce the shares outstanding, all things being equal, earnings per share goes up. That's one of the things that's pushed the market higher. So if you see a company that's buying back their own shares, that's actually a bullish sign as well.
And bullish versus bear.
Right, which bear means going down, bull means going up.
There you go. Yeah, a different way to look at the word bull. Stephen, thank you so much for your phone call. Hopefully you'll have a chance to really sit down and take a good hard look, at that $15,000. And hopefully you'll make some good decisions that'll make it grow. So thank you again for your phone call. Ivy, thank you so much for sharing with us tonight. We need to have you back because there's so many other issues to discuss. But, what is your final suggestion for those who are just kind of on the fence and they're wondering what to do with this lump sum of money, whether it's $1,000 or $100,000? What do you tell them?
Well, it's the old, adage that a failure to plan is a plan to fail. And so the same way you didn't go and build your own house, the same way you would never go to court without an attorney, you want to sit down with an advisor who's credible and map out a plan so you can get to the next level.
Well, Ivory Johnson, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And as always, the information for you to find out more about Ivory will be on WHUR.com at around 8:30 after the program. So again, that is The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Thursday, February 9th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can follow me on Twitter at HFisher, WHUR, or at Daily Drum, WHUR. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.